reminders on upcoming guests.
Follow us
at Zone 1150 on Twitter.
This is
KZNE, KNDE HD3, and K274CM, College Station Bryan.
Sports Flash.
I'm Jay Berman. Let's start with college basketball. Gonzaga, the last unbeaten team in Division I, moved to number one in the Associated Press poll for just the second time in school history. The Zags are 22-0. They jumped up from third when Villanova and Kansas both were beaten in a week when seven of the top 10 lost. Gonzaga is the fifth team to reach number one this season, joining Duke, Kentucky, Villanova, and Baylor. By the way, Baylor, the number two team in the country. We have a doubleheader tonight on the CBS Sports Network at 7 Eastern. It's Boston University going up against Lehigh. The nightcap features SIU Edwardsville facing Belmont. Kansas sophomore forward Carlton Bragg has been charged with possession of drug paraphernalia. That, according to the Kansas City Star. By the way, one matchup inside the ACC, inside the top 25 tonight. Number 17, Duke on the road for Notre Dame Irish, ranked 14th in the country. All right, from the NBA, Kevin Love is out tonight when the Cavs play in Dallas. Love stayed home to have an MRI in his back, which flared up during yesterday's win over OKC. Six games total on the schedule tonight in the association. To the NFL, new Indianapolis Colts general manager Chris Ballard, according to reports, intends to keep Chuck Pagano in 2017. He'll then be reevaluated for the 2018 season. Of course, this is Super Bowl week. Patriots and Falcons coming up at Sunday. At this point in time, just like last week, Falcons are 3-point underdogs, over under 58.5. I'm Jay Berman.
This is Doug Gottlieb, and I'm in Houston for Super Bowl 51. Listen to the show live from Radio Row, 3 to 6 Eastern, right here on CBS Sports Radio.
I'm Chelsea Reber with your community calendar on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone 102.7 FM. The Center on Disability and Development presents How Can I Help My Child Have a More Purposeful Life? Thursday from 6 to 7:30 at Central Baptist Church. Visit cdd.tamu.edu to register for this free event. A&M Consolidated High School presents the musical Guys and Dolls Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. All three shows begin at 7 with advanced tickets available at amchs.booktix.com. The Bryan High Fine Arts Department will bring to life the Tony Award-winning musical Into the Woods this weekend. For more information, call 209-2400. Today, sunny with a high near 72. Tonight, clear with a low in the mid-40s. You can hear the Falcons and the Patriots, the Super Bowl this Sunday with special coverage from Westwood One starting at 1 and kickoff at 5:30 right here on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone 102.7 FM.
Find out why folks are still discovering the Tap after 26 years. We think it's because we offer something for all ages, from tasty food like our Philly cheesesteak, bacon cheese tater tots, or three-quarter pound triple-decker club sandwich, to a great selection of healthy salads. The Tap's also a great place for casual meetings with friends or clients, watch the big game, or work on your laptop with our free Wi-Fi. Sure, we have bands, the famous piano bar, karaoke, and more, but details. Come see us in that unique-looking building on Harvey Road. The Tap, bleeding maroon since 1990.
Hey, football fans, Snickers and Skittles are squaring off in the Candy Bowl, an epic battle of Super Bowl party favorites. So, what's it gonna be? Are you Team Snickers with its roasted peanuts, nougat, caramel, and milk chocolate? Or are you Team Skittles, a fan of the five fruity flavors that let you taste the rainbow? Check out special in-store displays. You could score NFL season tickets from Snickers and Skittles, official sponsors of Super Bowl 51. No purchase necessary. Visit Facebook.com/Snickers for official rules. Promotion ends 11:59 p.m. Eastern on February 27th, 2017.
Hello.
For more information on the Zone 102.7 and Sports Radio 1150, visit zone1150.com now.
It feels good.
Welcome to the Bellucci Hour Lunch. We are live from the Tap.
Happy Monday to everyone. We're going to do a lot of National Signing Day preview because guess what? We're just 2 days away from National Signing Day. So, and if we could maybe cut the intro music off, that would be pretty cool too. There we go. Anyways, welcome to the Bellucci Hour, live from the Tap. We are at the Tap, so if you are joining us here live and you're hungry because it's lunchtime and you're taking a break, getting out of the office for a little bit because your boss has been nagging you, get a burger because it's great and it's delicious, and they have awesome tater tots too. If you want those, check the tater tots out. We do have a social media. We have some social media interns that have been helping us put out video content, audio content, so you can find all of that on our Bellucci Hour Lunch Facebook page. We also have a Bellucci Hour Snapchat, which I don't know if any of you guys have Snapchat or not, but if you do, check that out. I think it's Bellucci Hour Snapchat. And if you can't find that, our Facebook profile picture is our code. I know I'm probably talking a foreign language to some of you. You guys have no idea what I'm talking about. But for those of you that do, go follow our Snapchat. It is a National Signing Day preview show, so if you guys got any questions, please get those up to us. We have our lovely interns that will be going around collecting the note cards that are on your table. So if you guys got questions about anything or whatever, just get them up here. And then a friendly reminder also before we get started today, the Tap has crawfish now every Friday. Yes, every Friday, crawfish at the Tap. So go check that out. I'll probably be up here a lot for that because I'm a huge crawfish fan. So that is the Cajun in me coming out. So anyways, like I said, 2 days away from all the drama of National Signing Day. I've already got questions coming up here. We're excited. And just another reminder also, on Wednesday, we are going to have a show here at the Tap. Same time as always. So we do have three shows in store for you this week, and we're really excited about that. So don't forget about us on Wednesday. After all the drama's over, Lucci and I will be hanging out at the Tap to recap everything that happened. Lucci, how was your weekend? What were you up to this lovely, I guess, last weekend in January?
Well, I mean, I didn't rage like you did.
I didn't rage.
Alex, I saw the Snapchats. That's raging.
I kind of raged, I guess. I wouldn't say that.
I went to the
Aggie Entrepreneurship Saturday. That was interesting. Brandon Jones gave a little speak to all the entrepreneurs.
Did you did you make a little mark of how many times he says right?
No, I didn't, but we should have. But I will say that he did this a lot, the hands
mind blown.
He was mind blown by everything. And he even caught himself like halfway through. He goes, "I'm sorry for doing this mind blown thing."
I'm sure he did a great job. Hunter and I always keep count and joke around how many times he says right.
It's a lot.
I mean, TexAg started in 1999, and that was a long time ago, right? And we've grown a lot since then, right?
Yeah. No, he did that right. Exactly. Exactly right.
Correct.
Exactly right. Correct. Well, I just caught everybody up just to remind you, 2 days away from signing day, all the drama. What are you looking forward to the most about signing days? Are you just excited to get it over with?
Alex, what you consider drama, I consider right now a refreshing lack of drama right now.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully it stays that way.
I feel like it never stays that way.
It rarely stays that way. When you have your entire class but one in the boat, and for all intents and purposes, that guy, you know, committed on his visit a week or so ago, I believe. You hope there's a lack of drama.
Mm-hmm.
The drama was this past weekend where people were trying to get guys like Jaden Peavy and Michael Clemens and Cameron Ori and Tyree Johnson. They were trying to get those guys to visit places, and they didn't. Now, Josh Rogers did visit Ole Miss. He's the one guy you're waiting for to add to the class on Wednesday. And Devodrick Buddy Johnson did visit Baylor. So, really, I think Miles Jones is solid and locked in with the Aggies after that flirtation with Baylor where his brother's at, and they hired his high school coach.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that Tyree Johnson, who did not visit Virginia Tech this weekend as he had planned,
mm-hmm.
I think that solidifies him, you know, he's good to go. So, really, the drama is around two guys. And when you're talking about a 27-person class, the drama being around two guys, I think, is really good. And one of those two, it would be very surprising if he didn't end up at A&M and Josh Rogers. Mm-hmm. Buddy Johnson, I'm hearing positive stuff. And I said this morning, if signing day were today, AP, I think he'd be an Aggie. But there's a lot of conversations that are going to be had between now and then on both sides. So that one, I think everybody will kind of be anxiously awaiting. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, I mean, the other part of it is you have a third of your class already on campus.
Right.
So it has been a very uneventful in terms – you know, everybody talks about that, quote, decommitment, you know, the Aggie decommitment season, and the Texas fans and the self-loathing Aggies who, you know, as I feel like they're the most disgusting element that I deal with, or the self-loathing Aggies that just, you know –
Everything's coming to an end.
Yeah, and I'm, you know me, I just like the whole, I want to prove that I'm not like the rest of the Aggies, and I don't have hope like they do. They're stupid for having hope. And those people, I can't stand them. And just know, if you're one of those and you talk to me, you're the very small group of people in my life that I will ever be rude to your face. There's not many people. I feel like if you say one thing about me, I'm friendly to everyone, friends, strangers, new people, you know, but
unless you throw egg rolls in their face.
Well, I'm not friendly
I'm
to you,
kidding.
Everybody. But if you're one of those types and I'm having a conversation with you and everything is, you know, I can feel you rolling your eyes if you say anything remotely positive, or if you don't, if you're not saying it's the end of the world, I can see the, you know, whatever, man, then I'm done with you. And it's going to be an abrupt ending to the conversation. But other than that, this decommitment thing that everyone talks about. And so next year when A&M gets a commitment for 2018, I don't want to hear this crap of, well, wake me up when they decommit, or they'll sign somewhere else. Don't worry, they always do. The Aggies, if they finish this class with Josh Rogers and hold on to who they've got, there have been four decommitments and 27 signees. So A&M will have committed 31 players in this cycle and lost four.
It's not that bad.
Over a year's time, that's not even remotely close to bad.
No.
That's actually really good.
Especially we all know that it's pretty likely that kids are going to decommit and stuff these days.
Exactly. And three of those four decommitments were out-of-state players. And one of them was Tate Martell, who you replaced with Kellen Mond, who is as high or more highly rated.
I was never a Tate fan.
Yeah, you weren't.
He annoyed me so bad.
A lot of social media there. Another one was Manny Netherly, who was a receiver that you certainly wanted and went after. But he went to LSU, and guess what? In return, you flipped Jamon Osbon from LSU, who was more highly regarded. And then you lost Travis Achan, ATN, who was an out-of-state running back from Louisiana. He decommitted. He came back into the conversation, and A&M actually took a pass on him. And I don't know if they would have kept him. And even if they didn't, you lost a Louisiana kid to the national champs in Clemson. And that's generally it. And you lost an Oklahoma offensive lineman who is arguably the best player in that state this year of Oklahoma. And he stayed at home to play for Bob Stoops and the Big 12 champs. So it's been a really good year for A&M not to lose who they've gotten. Is it going to be a perfect class? No, it could certainly have been better. But it's going to be a rock solid and a top 15 class that addressed all needs. I think elevated the program from where it was, you know, on Wednesday. I think the program's better than it was before Wednesday. Will there be some areas where you go, in the grand scheme of needs, Alex? No, they addressed them all. If they sign everybody, will there be some areas you go, well, here's where it could have been better? Hell yeah. And you'd want more guys like Anthony Hines and Osman and Mond, although they did sign four guys who we have ranked in the top 10 in the state, because we include Mond and Osman, mm-hmm. who, if anyone were including them in the state, they are easy top 10 players in Texas, and no one would argue that, no service. And then we have Derek Tucker at 9, maybe some service, and that's including Mond and Osman ahead of him. So really in state we have him at 7. Let's just say there are some that wouldn't have him that high. He's still a top 15 you will have landed four of the top 15 in the state at worst, but people are going to say it's two and one of the top 10. That's misleading. That's misleading because Mond and Osmond are Texas high school football products that played for, you know, 10 games out of state. So they did a good job. Do you want more? Yeah. Marvin Wilson didn't give you enough of a look as you'd like for the number one player in the state. Baron Browning and Jeffrey Okuda didn't. They didn't look at anybody in this region. They went to Ohio State from the jump. But you need to do better in that regard. But I think you have to win 10, 11 games to do that. Mm-hmm. And that's why they rode that year or two under Johnny and Mike and that O-line and all that success. And they rode that wave for a year or two, and then it died out, you know?
Yeah.
They signed Ricky Seals-Jones, who was number one in the state. They signed Miles Garrett right after those. So that's why I think getting Anthony Hines was so important. To get back into that mix, Alex, of signing one of those guys in state that everyone in the country wanted. Now they need to get, you know, take it that next step. But I just don't think you can do that unless you change coaches and have a new guy like Georgia did with Kirby Smart, or if you win a lot of games on the field. I think that's what it's going to take.
Before we go to a break, I wanted to bring this up to you because I know there was a little bit of conversation going on about Corey Bethley committing to TCU over the weekend and how big of a blow that actually was to A&M.
I read your
update, so what are your opinions on that situation?
Anybody that thinks it's a blow is an idiot. And I would tell you that losing Kendall Sheffield's a blow to the class just to prove that I'm not just saying every guy they don't get is no big deal. I thought losing Kendall Sheffield could end up being pretty significant because if he's a starter at Ohio State next year on a national title contending team, how big would he have been at A&M when you have Nick Harvey and Priest Willis? But who's to say that a guy of Kendall Sheffield's stature could not have come in and beat one of them out and elevated your position? And then you even have one of those two as a backup. Now you're even better. We always had to play wait and see, but that was a big loss to me.
Mm-hmm.
Corey Bethley is not, and I think Corey could play at A&M. There's no question. I think he could get on the field as a true freshman next year in the rotation, but that's all he would have been was on the back end of a rotation next year, which is fine. You don't have to have every guy come in and start, and I think he would have seen the field at six, but at 6 foot and a half, about 6'1", 300 pounds, he's a lot like what A&M has. Zay Coven Henderson, Daylon Mack, those guys are probably more explosive, better players, you know, even coming out at the same stage. So you're just kind of going in this cycle of getting more of what you have. If they had a couple more scholarships, they would have taken him.
Right.
Or at least tried. It's not a guarantee he wouldn't have gone to TCU. I'm not even going that route. I think they would have gotten him. But A&M's trying to get bigger in there, and that's why you see Jaden Peavy. That's why you see Josh Rogers at almost 6'5 and 307. They're trying to get bigger in there.
Mm-hmm.
In this league, the shorter, short-armed defensive linemen are having a very hard time these days because the O-linemen in the SEC are so good and so dominant, and because they don't call holding.
Mm-hmm.
If I get my hands on you before you can reach me, we're doing a demonstration for those of you listening on radio, then you can't do anything. It's like the old cartoons where you put your hand on someone's head and the little guy's swinging or swinging and he can't reach.
Yeah.
That's what happens with these linemen. And when they get their mitts on you, you're done. They're so powerful. They're so strong. And they don't call holding.
Right.
So you have to get these guys that can get to the offensive linemen before they get to them. That's what guys like Rogers and Peavy and, you know, Kingsley Kiki, T.D. Moten, they're those type of guys. Like I said, had A&M had more room, they would have certainly gone and tried to get Bethley. Had Bethley committed in December somewhere and chose A&M, he had a spot. But the timing of it, you know, so no one's saying that guy couldn't play here.
Right.
But A&M had a choice to make, and they made their choice.
Well, and we talked about
and hopefully it doesn't backfire. If Rogers goes to Ole Miss, then you're regretting it. But I think I feel good about the Aggies signing him Wednesday.
Awesome. Well, let's go to a break. When we come back, we'll continue with National Signing Day preview. I have some just hypothetical questions, predictions for you to make. So we'll get to that. And then also, like I said, if you guys got questions about anything going on, get them up here, and we'll try to get to those also. This is the Blue Chi Hour Lunch. We're live from the Tap, and we'll be back after this.
The Bush Presidential Library and Museum and KBTX-TV present a KWTX News 10 documentary called We Can't Forget Vietnam on February the 9th at 6:30 at the Annenberg Presidential Conference Center. There will be a discussion panel featuring retired General Barry McCaffrey, retired Lieutenant General Paul Funk, and journalist David Burnett. Visit bush41.org and click on the Events tab to make reservations.
There's an Orange Opportunity sales event going on now at WC Tractor, Brazos Valley's only Kubota Elite dealer. Get an M5 tractor with your choice of four models, each with clean Kubota diesel engines and your choice of transmission. And right now, you can get financing as low as 0% APR for up to 60 months. Visit one of their four Kubota Elite dealerships or check them out at WCTractor.com. Now through March 31st, 2017, call toll-free 1-888-794-4992 for details about costs and terms.
Washington County Tractor. People and products that you can trust.
Take a look under your bed. Find stuff under there? What about jobs? No? Now try your basement. There's a pair of overalls that overall you're not so into anymore. A perfectly good laptop that hasn't sat in your lap in months. And even more stuff, but still no jobs? Well, you really have both. See, stuff is defined as household articles considered as a group. Sometimes this stuff is no longer needed. Wait, no longer needed? That can't be right. Because remember those jobs you were looking for? Those are really needed, and they're the stuff inside your stuff. Even inside that winter coat that moved with you to Phoenix. Our job is to unlock those jobs, and it starts when you donate your stuff to your local Goodwill. Here's how we do it. When you donate to Goodwill, we sell your stuff to provide job training for people right here in your community. So just by teaming up with Goodwill, you help create jobs. And isn't that worth parting with the leftover keytar from your 80s cover band? Goodwill. Donate stuff, create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
When you think of Texas A&M Athletics on the Zone, think of the businesses sponsoring the games of your favorite team.
Businesses like Rudy's Barbecue, Sleep Stations, Warneman Flooring, Subway, Team Ford, and Coldwell Banker Agtown Realtors.
Here's a big gig'em to these sponsors of Texas A&M Athletics. You're listening to the flagship station for Texas A&M Athletics, Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
Sunday, the Atlanta Falcons take on the New England Patriots in Super Bowl 51. Hi, everyone. This is Kevin Harlan. Join me and the rest of our terrific Westwood One radio crew in Houston for all the action. It's Tom Brady against Matt Ryan. The Falcons, the New England Patriots. If it's Super Bowl 51, it's right here.
Coverage starts at 1, kickoff at 5:30. You can hear the Super Bowl thanks to the Travis Bryan Municipal Golf Course right here on The Zone.
Welcome back to the Blue Chi Hour Lunch. We are live from the Tap previewing National Signing Day. We do have a National Signing Day show this Wednesday, which is National Signing Day, in case you didn't know that. But we'll be out here at the Tap hanging out, just kind of recapping everything that happened, talking about all the signees and things like that. So definitely get your little booties out here and come hang out with us at the Tap after National Signing Day is over. We'd love to have you guys, and Thursday's show is on as always. So you get us three times this week. Lucci, I said before the show that I wanted to get some predictions from you. A lot of people in this town think that you have a crystal ball sometimes, and I know you don't, but you do have a lot of insight. So I just wanted to get some general thoughts and expectations that you have for Wednesday. So just to kind of start it off, which group in this class do you think is going to be the strongest and have the most just raw talent?
Raw talent. I really like the wide receiving group. I think Jamon Osmond could be special. He's got impact potential, and Hez Jones with that speed and being an early enrollee, he'll be able to make that adjustment. And then I'm a big Rashad Paul fan. I think he's a special, tremendous football player. And he's just magic with the ball in his hands. He's a competitor. He's a winner. I love that addition. That was a smart early offer by A&M. OU had offered him, and A&M acted quickly after that and got him. And then Cameron Buckley is the guy that people know, no one's really talking about. He was an Under Armour All-American, and he's a 6'1", 190-pound kid, which is good size for a receiver coming out of high school, and he's 6'1 plus, and he's very athletic. He's very athletic, long arms, really big hands, catches the football well, and that's kind of your fourth rated guy of four. That you're doing something right there.
When you look at the rest of the SEC, which other SEC school, maybe besides Bama, do you think will have the highest rated recruiting class coming out?
I guess it looks like Georgia, although LSU is closing really strong again. But it's going to be those three, Gap, and then it might be A&M leading that next pack. It's A&M, Auburn right now. They're neck and neck, and then Tennessee's in there. I think South Carolina under Muschamp is having a good year, but you don't want to sit there and go, well, we finished fourth in the SEC.
Right.
But if A&M does, after going 8-5, and if fourth in the SEC equals, 12th in the country or 13th in the country, that's pretty damn good. Mm-hmm. You got to do better, yes. I mean, I don't know if we have to say that. I think we all understand that 12 to 15 is not as good as 1-5, and
it's a given.
That's where you need to be year in and year out to feel like you can go win a national title or win in the SEC. But Clemson didn't have classes ranked that high, and they just won a national title. And they came out of a tough league in the ACC, and they've beaten SEC teams. You don't have to do that to win the whole thing. You don't have to be better than Alabama in recruiting for 4 years to beat them 1 year. The goal is, yes, to build your program to look like Alabama, to look like LSU did in the heyday under Miles. Mm-hmm. But I do think with consistent top 15 classes where you're – and this is the key. Your low end is the top 15, and – maybe twice out of every 5 years you're a top 10. Then the development, if you develop and coach these guys well and you have a winning culture in your program, mm-hmm. you can compete with anybody, Alabama included. And no, you're not going to beat Alabama. Nobody does. But you just keep building. And I think the key is, at some point you have to break that cycle. And you have to win big to elevate and get that top five class. And then you go, okay, we recruited really good in 17 or in 16. We like our group in 16. It was underrated, it looks like now.
Right.
We loved our 17 class that you're about to sign. Love that one. And then you go out next year with this group that you look like you're off to an incredible start with, and that might grow here pretty soon. And that's your top five class. That's your breakthrough. And you stacked it with two that you liked prior to it. And then maybe you can get rolling towards that championship. And, Kevin Sumlin is up against a clock, and there's no question about that. And so is every coach in the league. And this is what's remarkable.
It's how the business works.
It's how the business works, and it's the pressure. And whether it's Sumlin or anybody else, if you don't embrace that, then this job is not for you. But I think he does more so, way more so than people think. But your head coach at A&M right now is tied for the third longest tenured in the entire 14-team SEC. Can you believe that?
Crazy.
He's been there 5 years, and it's the third longest behind Saban and Dan Mullen. And Dan Mullen's at a place where there's no expectation level, and especially when he got there.
He's just kind of hanging out, isn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, it's weird because you'd think he would go somewhere. But Saban, Dan Mullen, and then it's Summey and Hugh Freeze, third out of 14. Every school has made coaching changes, and that's the pressure, and that's why Kevin Sumlin, Brett Bielema, Gus Malzahn, they're all Butch Jones, mm-hmm. Mark Stoops, they're all feeling it this year going in. You know, there's real pressure on those guys to win and perform. Hell, Kirby Smart's going to feel it next fall after the subpar first year there. So it, the pressure's there, there's no question, but you just keep recruiting and hopefully you have that breakthrough before, you know, you get that phone call, because everybody's on the clock in that league, except unless your name's Nick Saban. Just ask Les Miles. Just ask Steve Spurrier. Just ask Will Muschamp.
Happens to everybody.
Yeah. So, but recruiting the way they are right now, I think it's the team to watch, Alex. If I think right now today, I feel like A&M is in this very interesting position of jockeying with Auburn. You know, last year we thought the loser of that game might be on the hot seat, and Gus certainly was, and they turned it around. But they're both, again, going into seasons where they need to win. They were both kind of right there in the middle of that Jarrett Stidham thing, which makes an interesting sidebar. The home teams never won in that series, which was very interesting. So all these things between these two programs, and I think we all know that Alabama's at the top, and LSU's going to be up there, and Edo can recruit a lot. They're the wild card to me. And I'll go on record as saying this. I think as soon as Dave Aranda leaves, which could be after this season, I think LSU falls under Ed O. I think he's going to recruit well, and the next guy is going to win big. But I think there's going to be some drop-off and with Ogeron over the – you know, maybe it's not right away next year, but there's a reason no one wanted to hire the guy as a head coach. There's a reason LSU didn't necessarily want him, and they settled for him.
Right.
And there's a reason it's one thing to interim – it's another thing to run and manage a program over the long haul. And I think he's proven he's not cut out for that.
And not everybody is.
So if you put parentheses around them and you say, let's see where they go, the little battle behind LSU right now, and I think it is behind LSU, between A&M and Auburn, and right now they're neck and neck in recruiting, which is why I'm saying this. That little jockeying battle and how they do on the field, I think is really interesting, because if LSU does slip in a year or two, whether it's Sumlin or Malzahn coaching at A&M or not, because if either of those guys aren't, there's going to be a big hire. But if Sumlin can go out and win more than expected this year, or if it's Gus that does it, that team positions themselves to kind of jump up in there. And there is enough talent on both campuses to go in and claim that second role. And where I'm going with that is the team that I think is going to fall off is Ole Miss. You look at their recruiting right now. We talked about them battling A&M for Rodgers, but you look at their class in general. You look at that NCAA cloud over them, which I know you guys don't believe me. I'm here to tell you, just like I did before when you didn't believe me, when I said that they were going to get hit hard and there was a lot of stuff going on and no one wanted to listen. I'll believe it when I see it. It's still there, and it ain't going anywhere. And they're under fire. And people have been fired. And Hugh Freeze, the shine has come off of that deal. And I know he's beaten A&M three games in a row. But if you're sitting there saying that, that doesn't matter to what we're talking about. We're talking about big picture Ole Miss. Big picture Ole Miss has very little to do with anything Texas A&M. They went 5-7 this year. They're not recruiting like they were. There's a huge dark cloud hovering over their program. They're going to drop off. Mark my words. They're falling off. And so it really Auburn and A&M are in this position where I think one of them is going to jump up and be that primary contender in a couple of years, regardless of who's coaching where. So it's still – there's an opportunity out there for the Aggies. But this year I think is – I think this season on the field will determine which team that is, unless one of them – let's say Auburn fires somebody and goes and gets – hires a, you know, the answer at head coach. Maybe it's him. You never know how it's going to go. But those are my two programs that I think are in limbo right now in the SEC. I think it's clear that Ole Miss is going down. I think it's clear that Arkansas is going to be Arkansas under Bielema. Mississippi State's going to be Mississippi State under Mullen.
Both of those, they're just hanging out. Bielema and Mullen are just camping, basically. All right, well, when we come back, I have a few more of these little hypothetical prediction-type questions regarding National Signing Day, and then I want to get to y'all's questions as well. I have a few up here, so y'all have a couple minutes left to get those before we start firing off for Lucci. This is the Bellucci Hour Lunch. We're live from the Tap, and we'll be back after this.
From News Talk 1620 WTAW, I'm Chelsea Reber with a news update on Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone 102.7 FM. Brought to you by WC Tractor, your local award-winning Kubota and New Holland dealer in Bryan and Navasota. One person is dead and two are still in the hospital following a crash in West Bryan. Police report the person who died, 21-year-old Robert Lucas Collins of Bryan, was a backseat passenger in a pickup that rolled on Traditions Drive near Harvey Mitchell Parkway. The 22-year-old male and 19-year-old female passengers were admitted to a hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. The male victim was released from the hospital on Sunday. The 18-year-old male driver was admitted with serious injuries and is currently listed in stable condition. Bryan City Council is holding a special meeting this afternoon to consider extending a deadline for an economic development project approved in December of 2015 in the downtown North area. The developer of Jordan Center, Chris Lawrence, told the council it took until last month to get financing. That's why he's asking for another 6 months to get permits on what he has adjusted to a $28 million project, which is down from $30 million. In exchange for building 130 apartments and new retail space, along with renovating the former Kimball Feed Building, Lawrence will receive a rebate on more than $1 million in city property taxes and a waiver of $75,000 in city fees. Sometime down the road, there will be an interstate highway running through Brazos County. The timetable is still being determined by the Texas Department of Transportation, which has announced the official designation of Interstate 14 from I-35 in Belton west to Coppers Cove. I-14 is designed to follow the path of Highway 190 in order to improve mobility between three major Army installations, Fort Bliss, Fort Hood, and Fort Polk. News is brought to you by WC Tractor. I'm Chelsea Reber on Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone 102.7 FM.
Find out why folks are still discovering the Tap after 26 years. We think it's because we offer something for all ages, from tasty food like our Philly cheesesteak, bacon cheese tater tots, or three-quarter pound triple-decker club sandwich, to a great selection of healthy salads. The Tap's also a great place for casual meetings with friends or clients, watch the big game, or work on your laptop with our free Wi-Fi. Sure, we have bands, the famous piano bar, karaoke, and more, but details, details. Come see us in that unique-looking building on Harvey Road. The Tap, bleeding maroon since 1990.
Crash Scene Consultants says while teens enter the road with lots of excitement and good intentions, they also have the least experience behind the wheel. Combine this with texting and the situation can turn dangerous quickly. A texting driver is 23 times more likely to get into a crash than a non-texting driver. Remind your teens to stay alive. Don't text and drive. This message is from Crash Scene Consultants right here in College Station, specializing in vehicle crashes. Give Steve a call for more information at 979-220-6045. Crash Scene Consultants, wishing everyone a safe and healthy 2017.
There's an orange opportunity sales event going on now at WC Tractor, Brazos Valley's only Kubota Elite dealer. Get an M5 tractor with your choice of four models, each with clean Kubota diesel engines and your choice of transmission. And right now, you can get financing as low as 0% APR for up to 60 months. Visit one of their four Kubota Elite dealerships or check them out at WCTractor.com. Now through March 31st, 2017, call toll-free 1-888-794-4992 for details about costs and terms.
Washington County Tractor.
Hey, football fans, Snickers and Skittles are squaring off in the Candy Bowl, an epic battle of Super Bowl party favorites. So, what's it gonna be? Are you Team Snickers with its roasted peanuts, nougat, caramel, and milk chocolate? Or are you Team Skittles, a fan of the five fruity flavors that let you taste the rainbow? Check out special in-store displays. You could score NFL season tickets from Snickers and Skittles, official sponsors of Super Bowl 51. No purchase necessary. Visit Facebook.com/Snickers for official rules. Promotion ends 11:59 p.m. Eastern on February 27, 2017.
Your home for A&M women's basketball is Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
I thought I would know better. That's wishful thinking, thought there'd be no pressure. That's wishful drinking, is anything for
welcome back to the Bellucci Hour Lunch. We are live from the tap. We're taking questions, previewing National Signing Day. I have a few other questions that I want to throw out at Lucci, and then I'll get to yours because I have a good little stack up here. So we'll get to those quickly. Lucci, I'm not that negative. Lucci thinks
there
I'm so
stupid,
negative.
There was this stupid show back in the day on like E or somewhere called The Pickup Artist, and I know no one in the front or probably anyone here knows what that show is. But
I don't think I know what that
it
is.
It was the lamest show, and it was these like guys that were like, one time, you know, losers with women, and they were living in a hot house on Lake Austin. And the whole concept of the show is this guy reinvented himself into this sort of like Lothario ladies' man.
And is this a show about you?
No. They would train because I was never a big geek like that, but I'm always like partial geek, but I was always like partial geek, partial cool. And I've also, you know, had a mixed bag with ladies. So I would not say I've ever been just this, you know,
Romeo. Ladies,
yeah.
Ladies
but
man.
This guy was. He went full into the spectrum, and he had these people. Basically, they trained these geeky guys that had no success with girls to become these ladies' men about Austin. As you can tell, it just sounds like riveting television, so I watched it. Well, one of the things they did was the guy's training was to use these things against girls called negs. And it was the lamest thing I've ever heard. And he would call it negging, where they would just throw negative comments at the girls from time to time just to make them like almost like feel inferior.
That's what I do to you.
It was the worst thing ever. Make them a little uncomfortable or like they had to, you know. And that's what you do.
I'm a negger.
You are a negger.
Okay.
You are very negative.
All right. I'm just going to keep throwing little negative comments at you.
You are a constant. Like, for y'all that don't know off the air, I'm going to Super Bowl, and I was showing Alex where I'm sitting. I go, wouldn't it be cool if, like, the game-winning touchdown happened in this corner of the end zone? No touch. She was like, well, I mean, if it happened in that end zone,
it could happen in the other one, and then what happened?
No bleep, Alex. It could also be a 40-point game that's the most uninteresting Super Bowl ever.
And all 27 commits could flip at the top of a hat
exactly,
on Wednesday. I mean,
exactly.
It could go really bad. All right. I'll be more positive. I'll try. But I think
I'm keep negging.
Okay, fine. I'll keep going. Do you think we'll see any of the commits flip? Are there any guys that you think, you know, they are committed to A&M, but maybe they're a little shaky?
I'm about to gabe you. I'm about to say, and we just talked about this all at the beginning of the show. I think they're all solid except, you know, Tyree not visiting. I think clinch that up. I think Miles Jones is good to go. And it's Buddy Johnson and, you know, technically Josh Rogers is not an announced commitment yet. So the only one I think you worry about flipping is Buddy Johnson, who will be A&M or Baylor on signing day.
What about on the flip side of things, somebody who's not committed to A&M and committed to another school that we think maybe have a shot at flipping?
No, I think that's None. It. I
that's
mean,
it?
I think A&M is at a point. I know they're at a point where they're going, you look at the 1-85 numbers, and they're there. If they add Josh Rogers, there's no room to add anybody else. Now, had Levi Jones wanted to sign, or if Marvin Wilson called you tomorrow and said, hey, I'm coming – yes, guys, I get it. They take him and figure it out. But that is not something someone has done nor prefers to do because you enter a world of uncertainty. But I think they are comfortable in believing we're going to have one extra spot in the spring. Now, if Buddy Johnson defects, it might be two. If three medical red shirts come through and two of them were iffy, then maybe you have two spots. I don't think they'll have more than two spots to work with. And if they do, they're fine with that because if they weren't, they would go and take a Corey Bethley or somebody. But really, in theory right now, they don't have that anyway. There are certain guys you wouldn't turn down, but those guys aren't looking at A&M anymore. So, no, they're not going to – I don't think there's anyone on the list to add barring several decommitments in the next 24 hours or so. I don't think there's anybody on the list that they would take outside of Josh Rogers.
Okay. And then just before we get to these fan questions, what do you think that the staff has done really well going down the stretch here? You are so positive and optimistic about what A&M's been able to do.
Real. And see, that's the thing. You guys will make me sound like Pollyanna over here. I'm not grading a class an A+. I'm not putting it in the top 10. It is what it is. Top 15 is a good class. It's not great. Mm-hmm. It's good. And this particular one, I think, is on the higher end of good because of some of the players they were able to add, and especially the guys they were able to add early.
What do you think are some of those strengths that the coaching staff has and been able to execute to put together a good recruiting class?
I think it was the early start. Yeah, I think the early start, they got off on the right foot in the very early going, and that class bonded. So I almost think the Tate Martell thing brought a lot of those guys together.
Is the Giggum gang going to go away after this, or is it like Giggum gang 18?
I think classes should change their moniker every year.
Yes, please, because I'm so sick of that
Let me tell you something about Giggum gang. Ugh. It's a hell of a lot better than Baylor Lit.
Yes, that is me.
And it's a hell of a lot better than Tom Herman tweeting about freaking Migos.
Wait.
Bad and bougie. You know, hey, Herman, don't be such a try-hard. Okay, if you're going to want to be the next Jim Harbaugh, he tweeted the other day something like, my boys at Migos know how to build a culture. # bad and bougie. Like,
but and bougie is a culture now?
It's just, it's you know what, Texas is kind of bougie, and that's why they don't win. I hope they stay bougie. But but I think, you know, I do think you change the hashtag. And look, whether you and I like it or not, I think we both agree we don't like where this whole social media thing is heading with all the GIFs and memes and everything every time somebody gets a commit or hears something.
It's lit AF, man.
It really is lit AF. And I don't like it because it's just annoying, and it's just so lame when you get, like, grown men doing this and trying so hard. But if that's just the reality that we live in and the world we live in, then at least change it up every year so nothing gets stale. So hopefully, more than anything, I want Baylor Lit to get the hell out of here. And they tried Sick'em Gang.
Sick'em Gang.
They had Sick'em Gang. Those people can't be original for anything.
It's a culture.
They get a fake tarp. They get fake brick tarp. It's just unbelievable.
They are. No originality. And everything surrounding Baylor is unbelievable to me at this point.
Unbelievable and unfortunate.
Exactly, and we won't even get into that. Let's get to some of these. Unbearable, there you go. All right, let's get to some of these questions. This one says, who's going to be the secondary coach? I've been out of the pocket lately.
I've never heard that. Out of the pocket. Is
or
this
out of
a,
pocket lately.
London,
sorry. No,
Texas?
Sorry. Out of pocket lately.
I've been out of the pocket lately.
Cheerio.
Nobody yet. They're still interviewing. I think Kevin Sumlin's interviewed no fewer than 5 guys for the job, and it looks to me like it'll be something that they announce after signing day, because at this point, what's the rush? Your DBs are locked in and solid, and make your choice, take your time, make the right choice.
I think it would just add a distraction, honestly, this close to signing day, and just stir the pot and get people talking about stuff that people don't need to be talking about right now.
When you have the guy's solid without one, then just wait to add one.
Yep, absolutely.
And there might be a guy or two that he wants to interview after signing day. There might be a coach that says, hey, I want to interview for that job, but I can't do it before signing day. I can't do that to my current boss.
Yeah. Hey, let's go to a break, and then when we come back, I'll get the last of these questions in and talk about a little bit more National Signing Day stuff.
Okay.
That's all I have.
Because it is
Monday before National Signing Day, so that's pretty much all I had. Maybe a few basketball notes.
That's fine. It's recruiting day.
Maybe a few basketball notes. This is the Bellucci Hour Lunch. We're live at the Tap, and we'll be back after this.
Get more connected to your favorite shows, guest alerts, show start reminders, and more, and more, and more. Follow us at Zone 1150 on Twitter.
This Friday, February 3rd, the Fightin' Texas Aggie hockey team faces off against the Texas Longhorns at Spirit Ice Arena. The Aggies need your support, and if you've never been to a live hockey game before, then this is your chance. The puck drops at 7:30 with tickets $10 each and $7.50 for students. Call, click, or visit Spirit Ice Arena for tickets at 693-3900 and spiriticearena.com. Come on out this Friday to Spirit Ice Arena and watch the Aggies beat the hell out of the Longhorns. 400 Holloman Drive in College Station.
Find out why folks are still discovering the tap after 26 years. We think it's because we offer something for all ages, from tasty food like our Philly cheesesteak, bacon cheese tater tots, or 3/4-pound triple-decker club sandwich, to a great selection of healthy salads. The tap's also a great place for casual meetings with friends or clients, watch the big game, or work on your laptop with our free Wi-Fi. Sure, we have bands, the famous piano bar, karaoke, and more, but details, details. Come see us in that unique-looking building on Harvey Road. The Tap, bleeding maroon since 1990. There's an orange opportunity sales event going on now at WC Tractor, Brazos Valley's only Kubota Elite dealer. Get an M5 tractor with your choice of four models, each with clean Kubota diesel engines and your choice of transmission. And right now, you can get financing as low as 0% APR for up to 60 months. Visit one of their four Kubota Elite dealerships or check them out at WCTractor.com. Now through March 31st, 2017, call toll-free 1-888-794-4992 for details about costs and terms.
Washington County Tractor, people and products to you can trust.
Crash Scene Consultant says while teens enter the road with lots of excitement and good intentions, they also have the least experience behind the wheel. Combine this with texting and the situation can turn dangerous quickly. A texting driver is 23 times more likely to get into a crash than a non-texting driver. Remind your teens to stay alive. Don't text and drive. This message is from Crash Scene Consultants right here in College Station, specializing in vehicle crashes. Give Steve a call for more information at 979-220-6045. Crash Scene Consultants, wishing everyone a safe and healthy 2017.
Bryan Broadcasting encourages you to go local by supporting our local businesses. When you shop, live, look, and dine locally, your tax dollars stay right here in the Brazos Valley, helping provide the services that make Bryan College Station a great place to live. You also help businesses grow, providing more jobs. Bryan Broadcasting and WRI Tractors, RV Source, and WRI Outdoors all remind you to go local.
Fighting Texas Aggie softball is back and better than ever. The Maroon and White boast a formidable lineup with returning sluggers like Tori Vidalis and Kristen Coyos and a strong rotation behind hurlers Samantha Schall and Lexi Smith. Follow along as Joe Evans and the ladies make a bid for the program's sixth trip to the College World Series in Oklahoma City. Every pitch, catch, and hit of Fighting Texas Aggie softball can be found on Willie 1550. Bryan Broadcasting, your home for Aggie Athletics.
Welcome back to the Bellucci Hour Lunch. We're closing out the show live from the tap, wrapping up the show with some of y'all's questions and then just some more nuggets if we have time. This one, I don't know who this is from because whoever wrote their name wrote an R and then a line. Maybe Randy. Kind of looks like Randy. Will this class bring a sense of toughness to the team?
Just no way to tell. There's no way to tell. We could sit here and say it. I mean, I see guys like, you know, I see guys like Rashad Paul that stands out to me. I look at the way some of those linemen like to finish blocks, and that's encouraging. I think Jaden Peavy has it in him, and once he puts it together as a player and can just kind of cut loose. You see some of these guys that Derek Tucker is a real physical guy, Anthony Hines, Santino Marchial is a really good-looking linebacker. I saw him in person for the first time the other day, like out of pads, off the field. And I mean, there's a potential for it. I mean, that's the goal every year for every program at every level, you know. So, but only time tells. Mm-hmm. It really does. Only time will tell if you get that. Who would have known? Certain guys that you recruit, you know, Dan Campbell was a finesse high school, probably 6'5", 225 maybe pound guy playing at 3A Glen Rose High School in Texas. He was a basketball player, was a football player, but he was, you know, who would have ever known that he would be a guy that won, you know, was your Hart Award, led you, was the key cog in a Big 12 championship as a blocking tight end, mm-hmm. went on to have that type of career in the NFL where he was on a Super Bowl team and was a guy that even Bill Parcells, you know, cried when he saw leave New York the first time, you know, or Dallas. But you just never know.
Yeah.
You never know who that's going to be, and you can think a guy's going to be that, and maybe they get hit in the mouth a few times and they don't, or maybe they get caught up in going out and partying, or they fall in love with this, you know, a girl, and it distracts them from football, or they get distracted by other, you know, more problematic things. You can't tell. So hopefully they need it.
Yep.
We know that.
That's very true.
I think this program needs a dose of kind of a class full of tough guys, but we'll see.
All right. This one is from Jeff. How big is Kellen Deesh? Is he over 300 yet?
I don't know the answer to that. I haven't checked, but I don't think he's over 300 yet, but I know he's a lot bigger than he was when he got here. You know, he's a lot bigger, and I think him being 300 pounds in time for next season, I don't think that's a stretch at all, if he's not there already. I don't think he's quite there, though, if I was guessing.
And then our last question from the fans, have you got any news on how the rehab is going for the high school offensive line players?
Well, Jared Hocker and Grayson Reed, off the top of my head, were two of the five that were injured. I might be forgetting if one of them was hurt, but they'll be fine. They'll be fine in time for next fall if they're needed. Hopefully this is a class of offensive linemen in which you can redshirt every one of them. If not, maybe one of them plays as a backup and you redshirt the other four. That would be, I think, ideal for Jim Turner.
So I wanted to talk to you about this. It got me thinking just about recruiting in general, especially when you look at the state of Texas and all the talent that, you know, Texas is supposed to have. And there's a lot of people that talk about this. Has Texas high school football gotten soft? Is it just as tough as it has been? And SB Nation put out an article, which the way they did their stats was kind of weird. They did states by elite recruits per capita. So they ranked the states, you know, based off their population, all that. But I was mainly just looking at the five-star recruits that have been produced. And Texas has produced 229 since 2013, and then Florida with 227 behind them. When you look at that and you just think about the way everything's kind of been playing out over the past couple years, do you think Texas high school football is softer?
I don't think it's as hard-nosed as it used to be because of the style of play that has kind of taken over in the state. But I do think it's cyclical, and I think it'll come back around. I think even the style of play will come back around to more, you know, power football over time. But it's just, not to trivialize, I think it's very difficult what Texas high school coaches do, but if you want to compete with some more talented programs, the easier way to do that is to spread everybody out. It's the same way it's revolutionized college football as well. It doesn't work in the NFL. It hasn't worked because everybody's got players at every position. But in college, you can exploit that. And in high school, you can exploit it even more if they're well coached. And these guys want to win, and they want their kids to win, and they're doing the what gives them the best chance. But I do think it has affected the level of physicality, which, i.e., toughness, you know, that's coming out these days. So yeah, I do think it's affected it. And I think there's also a lot of guys that are more the finished product, and there aren't as many guys like Josh Rogers around, which sometimes tend to be the real gems. And we finished a whole show without even talking about the Miss Universe pageant.
Yeah, I'm not into the Miss Universe
Miss
pageant.
Miss France.
What happened? I didn't watch
Miss France won it.
Really?
I mean, I'm sure you'd find something negative to say.
I haven't even seen her. I can look her up, and I guarantee you I can find something
negative. If you watched it, you'd probably be negative about every single one of them, and the only one you'd root for is Miss Australia because you have a couple friends in Australia. I mean,
that's not true. First off, I would never watch the Miss Universe
pageant. I hate to say it.
Ever.
I watched it instead of the Pro Bowl. I didn't see a down of the Pro Bowl.
That's funny because I was going to bring that up to you. Did you at least see Vaughn's picture of him with Mike Evans and Michael Bennett? Yeah,
love that picture.
Cool.
But and for those keeping score, Michael Bennett did a gig'em. For those of you, you know, that think he hates A&M because he says A-Leaf Taylor.
I did see a comment on some thread that was like, because his hand was behind his back. He's crossing his fingers behind his back. It doesn't count. He's not really gigging him.
But I did. I chose Steve Harvey and Miss Universe.
So then who were you rooting? Which Miss Universe contestant were you rooting? Miss America?
I like Miss America. Miss America. Miss USA.
I was like, is that
America.
Even the correct title?
USA, there's a big difference. Miss USA is a badass. She's an Army Ranger.
Really?
So she officially dethrones Candace Kruger as the toughest Miss USA to come out. She was awesome. That's an Aggie, by the way. She was awesome, I thought, but she didn't win it. And then I liked Miss Canada because she was a little thicker.
She had some meat on her bones.
Yeah, which in the pageants, I like to see that because so much of that is like, these girls, I feel like, try to be just rail skinny, and I don't think that's like a
well,
good.
Well, yeah, and that's
because I'm not big into the messages and all that, but I do think it's nice to see, like, some real-looking girls, not like the ones that you actually see walking around in public, and not just like Victoria's Secret model
photoshopped women that don't exist, or none of you would have any chance.
I like the ones
with.
I like the pageant ones that look like they work out a lot and not just sit around and eat salads. And the Miss Canada was not eating salads.
So if Lucci's recruiting Miss America contestants, he doesn't want them eating salads.
I just don't want them to. I want them to look fit and not skinny.
All right. Well, that
don't look like a Victoria's Secret model. That's all.
That's gonna end the show. We end the show talking about the Miss Universe pageant. Thanks for joining me, Billy. See you on Wednesday.
Hey, P, if you want, we can talk about X Games next week.
Yes, X Games next week. This was the Bellucci Hour
obscure
lunch.
Obscure Austin bands.
That's fine. I'm cool with that too. I know a lot about that. This is the Bellucci Hour lunch live from the Tap.